You're kidding. Just one shot?
They're not all zombies, Doug. How do you fight this thing?
Maybe we could drown it in A1 sauce.
Well, sometimes that is better. The person you put up there ain't the person that comes back.
It's dead zone to get down with. About 6 feet under. Get dead.
Ooh, I love this song.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Hello and welcome to episode 184 of the Rotten Reviews Podcast.
I just want to say thank you to everyone who showed up for the episode. Thank you for checking out last week's episode, Tremors. This week we have Tremors 2. This is the first time, I think, ever that on the podcast I've done a movie, two movies in the same franchise, one after another in, you know, recurring weeks. So, of course, I spoiled what today's movie is, but if you already read the title, you already knew what it was anyway, so there's no shocker there at all. Now, that's, you know, for the people who might be here for the first time ever, I guess. Even though, if you would listen to last week's episode, you would knew we're doing Tremors 2 this week. It's late at night right now, to be honest with you. It's 11:30, like my usual time. You know, I don't have a normal time when I record this, really. It's usually just later in the evening, and I'm okay with that because I'm a night owl. What's sleep? I don't know what sleep is, so I don't need any sleep. Speaking of sleep and being tired and low energy, how about you guys go to check out W Energy, go see the kind of the flavors they got, check out the shake cups and everything else. And then before you go cash out, make sure you use the promo code Rotten Reviews. The link will be down below for W and everything else, so definitely go check it out and make sure you use the promo code. You'll save yourself 10%. I get a little bit of, you know, it works out in the end. It's good stuff, so definitely go check it out. And while we're in the midst of checking things out, make sure to follow me on all social media accounts at Typhonsign, that on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. But the main thing we've been pushing each and every single week is the YouTube channel, where we have the weekly gaming video coming out every Wednesday. We have old episodes of the podcast going up as well. We have various shorts going up. We have art videos going up as well. We do live streams on there. We've been doing a lot of the live streams, a lot of GTA. We did the latest raid DLC heist for GTA Online. Clock and Bell did that over a two-night span, because we just did three missions one night and three missions the other night. But we're doing a lot of the online missions and whatnot, so it's fun stuff. Go check it out. We're going to be doing other episodes or other games as well. We're going to be going into the new season of Fortnite, probably do the new season of Fall Guys, because all these games, the new season and Battle Pass, all coming out at the same time. So we've got a lot of content, and we're also going to get back into playing Texas Chainsaw Massacre and maybe even Dead by Daylight. Sadly, my original Dead by Daylight account is on my Xbox, and I've been streaming everything and playing all the games on the PS4 lately. So if I do play Dead by Daylight, it's probably gonna be on the PS4, so I'm gonna have to start fresh again, which is fine. It's not a big deal, but we'll probably check that out. Maybe even if we do get into it, maybe I'll buy Chucky as the killer DLC, because I'm a big Chucky fan, and I would think he would be a cool killer to play with. So, but enough about that. Enough about me. By happenstance, if this is your first episode of the Rotten Reviews Podcast, I just want you to know you're going to be spoiled on this movie at hand, because what I do, I talk about the movie from start to finish and hit all the points in between that catch my interest. So you don't want to be spoiled on a movie that came out in 1996. Make sure to pause the episode now, go watch the movie, and then come back. Or, you know, just stay here, listen to me talk about the movie, discuss everything that happens in the movie, and hopefully I'll do a good enough job, and maybe I'll make you even want to watch that movie. I just want to put that out there. A little disclaimer, though, for anyone who's new, that you will be getting spoilers. That's essentially what the whole podcast is about. We're just talking about the movies that we watch, things that we enjoy, and, you know, hitting up movies that we loved as a kid, and just watching movies that we've never even seen before. I also never do this, but I'm gonna, I guess, recommend a movie for the first time ever. We just watched Ricky Stenicki on Amazon Prime tonight, featuring Zac Efron and Andrew Santino and John Cena, of course. Definitely a very fun fun movie. Go check that out. I highly recommend it. I like John Cena movies. Definitely go check it out, though. I think it's a lot of fun, and I think you guys might enjoy it. It's a new movie just came out this year, and it's a comedy, so it was enjoyable. I wasn't expecting a whole lot, because I didn't even watch the trailer for it. I just saw that it was new on the PlayStation, so I figured, why not watch it and enjoy a movie, because we don't really put on too many movies. I watched the movie for this episode, or I watched the movie for each episode of the podcast. Other than that, most of my time is divvied up into watching YouTube content creators, maybe watching the Twitch stream and working on artwork and other stuff. So I don't really sit down and watch much actual movies and focus on them. So it was fun watching. Definitely go watch it. But with that being said, we're going to get into today's movie at hand. Tremors 2 Aftershocks from 1996. It's an hour and 40 minutes. So for this one, the description on IMDb is Earl Bassett, now washed up ex-celebrity, is hired by a Mexican oil company to eradicate a graboid epidemic that's killing more people each day. However, the humans aren't the only one with a new battle plan. This movie's initial release date was April 9th, 1996. It had a budget of apparently $4 million USD. This movie has a whopping 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb, 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 4.6 out of 5 on Amazon.ca. Apparently 86% of Google users have liked this movie. I'm not going to talk too much about the directors or the writers probably, because guess what? It's the same from last week. So we have S.S. Wilson as the director again, best known for being the writer for 1999's Wild Wild West. He was the writer for 1986 Short Circuit. He was also the writer for 1990's Tremors, and he did like the 13 episodes of the Tremors TV show that I still haven't actually looked up at all. Then one of the writers is Brent Maddock, which we've already discussed before, because he's also the writer for Wild Wild West. He was the writer for Tremors and the TV show as well. And then the last writer credited is Ron Underwood, who is also best known for being the director for City Slickers and Mighty Joe Young from 1991 and 1998 respectively. I feel like I don't have to go into that details too much, because literally I just talked about the first Tremors movie last week, and it's actually the same team essentially coming back to do this movie, so I probably don't have to talk about that much, at least in my mind and opinion. I mean, you guys listen both episodes at the same time, like not at the exact same time, but like one after another, that'd be kind of cool. It's like my own personal double feature for you. Then of course in this movie we have, of course, Fred Ward coming back to replace his role as Earl Bassett, and we also have Michael Gross coming back as Bert Gummer, because Fred hires Bert to come help him to eradicate the graboids there at this oil refinery. We also have another new person, Chris Garten, which I believe is new, playing Grady Hoover, who's also best known for being in Black Swan, where he's credited as Sexy Waiter Scott. He was also apparently in the TV show True Blood, but only for the 3 episodes. I haven't really watched True Blood at all, so I know it's a vampire TV show in Louisiana, I believe, somewhere out that way. Other than that, I don't know much about it. And I mean, he doesn't really have much to credit that I even want to discuss about, so that's always fun. He's in a bunch of TV shows, but only for like 1 or 2 episodes. The next new cast member is Helen Shaver, who this one's going to touch the core memories. Apparently in 1988, she played Littlefoot's mother in The Land Before Time. She was also Carolyn in 1979's The Amityville Horror, and she was also Dr. Rachel Corgan in 87 episodes of Poltergeist Legacy from 1996 to 1999. The tagline for this is "The worms have turned," because we see the mutations happening, or I guess evolution of it, I guess, would be another way of looking at it. Here's a little fun trivia for it, though. Apparently, the film was originally meant to take place in Australia on a budget of $17 million, with Kevin Bacon reprising his role in a wide theatrical release. When the idea approved, but only given a budget of $4 million, the script was loosely rewritten to accommodate the budget, and of course, Bacon was canceled from that because he wasn't going to work for that little bit of money. I wish he was in this one. It'd be really fun if he was. He apparently always wants to come back to do more Tremor related stuff, but he just hasn't. So hopefully at some point in time he might. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. With that being said, though, I think we discussed everything that we need to, so we're just going to jump right into this movie at hand. So like I said, if you guys are a new listener to the podcast, thank you for showing up, but this is the point in time where you are going to be spoiled on this movie. So if you don't want to be spoiled, make sure to pause the episode now, go watch the movie, and then come back and listen to the episode. Hopefully you'll come back and listen to the episode, because we need you here. And if you don't want to do that, you know, just get yourself comfy, get some chips, some Doritos, whatever you might want, Pringles, who knows. Get comfy. If you're working, you know, just keep on working, keep that pace going. Do your job, just do it. But yeah, just get comfy. Let's get ready to talk about this movie. It's gonna be a fun one from what I remember. Hopefully it's a good one. It's not gonna be as good as the first one, but that's besides the point. First one's great. So we're gonna get right into the movie right at hand right now.
Presents Saturday Night at the Movies, the television series which each week brings you the finest in recent motion pictures. Tonight,
they lay dormant for years, waiting for the chance to appear once again. Now, they're back, and they'll find you no matter where you try to hide. And only a team of dedicated professionals can stop them.
We need someone, an expert, to eliminate these creatures,
to go graboid hunting.
This time, they're prepared.
Preparing to fire.
Smoked his ass.
Doing what I can with what I got.
This time, they're motivated.
50,000 for each graboid.
You've got a deal.
This time, they're one step ahead.
Get off the ground!
There's only one problem. This time, the worms have turned.
Something's wrong with our worm, Earl.
It's a whole new ball game. A whole new goddamn ball game.
The worms changed somehow. Now we've got these things.
This way!
I am completely out of ammo.
They wrecked our car. The radio tower. How can they be so smart?
We're like sitting ducks here.
Come get me, you suckers. You hungry?
If I can just get to your truck, I can grab some bombs.
Tremors 2, Aftershocks. Starring Fred Ward, Michael Gross, Christopher Garten, and Helen Shaver.
Damn worms never cut you any slack.
And of course, the movie starts out with that classic Universal image that we all loved to see back in the day. At least I did. You get this like little nice Mexican-style music playing as the intro credits start to roll. And then the Tremors logo comes up with the Aftershock title, and the music slowly starts to change. But then it goes back into a happier Mexican-style music again, kind of giving you a false hope for the movie. Then we hear the intro credits music finally die down, the credits actually go away, and we just see a Mexican worker who's panicking a little bit as he kind of shimmies across the pipelines that are above the ground. And then we see the Tremor slowly moving the ground below him as it moves closer and closer to him. Yeah, as he keeps, you know, shifting, but he's getting to the end of the pipeline, so I'm not sure where he's expecting to go at this point in time. Good thing we have all these little oil barrels all over the place, because he just starts playing hopscotch. Of course, as he's doing that, the Tremor gets closer and closer because he's hearing the echoing sound of him jumping on each barrel. And then we just see all the barrels slowly starting to get moved, and then he goes flying into the air and lands on his back on the ground. And then we see the Tremor pop up, or sorry, the graboid pop up out of the ground, and it's consuming him as it takes him back down underneath the ground. Then we see Earl getting thrown on his back, and you know, he's a cowboy. He's trying to, you know, fight wildfire, I think he's called. And then we see him using the lasso. He gets the lasso on Wild, and then next thing you know, we see him getting dragged across the sand, and we find out he's an ostrich farmer of all things. Now, nowhere, we see this old taxi cab coming down his road, and it stops at his fence line, and the guy rolls in, "You're the Earl Bassett, right?" And then this other guy's getting out of the back of the car with a flyer or a newspaper article. And he sees Earl and Valentine on it. And it's Senor Ortega. And Senor Ortega's the one who owns the oil field, who's been on the hunt for Earl and Valentine, because he needs some help hunting down the graboids that are, you know, just killing all his men and forcing him to close down his oil rigs. And then Earl's like, "So you mean there's more graboids? I thought there was only the ones that we had to deal with Imperfection." Also, I'm pretty sure the guy who's driving the taxi is also the Grady Hoover character played by Chris Garten. And Earl's like, "So you want us to go graboid hunting?" He's like, "Si, senor, it shouldn't be that hard, right?" He's like, "Yeah, hard. Sure, it will be. Leave me alone." Earl goes inside of his camper, goes inside his little double-wide trailer, and we see him in the fridge, and Grady pokes his head. He's like, So we're giving 50,000 for each graboid that you get. And he's like, no way. But also what I want to mention, in the background of his double wide, he has an arcade machine that's a graboid's tremor arcade machine, which has cool graphics on the side of it. We don't see the front of it, of course, but I like the side graphic at least. And then we find out that Grady is a big fan of Earl and Valentine. He's like, oh, I got... We see a bunch of magazines up on the wall and picture frames. He's like, oh, I got all these. I've read them all night. I actually got that magazine 2 times because I've kept one in plastic just for safekeeping. But now Earl's sitting down in his chair and he's like, did he really say 50,000 out there? He's like, yeah, a stack of Bibles. He's like, ah, I don't know. That's a big chance, you know. Then Earl starts thinking about how he wasted all his money. He's like, wasted my damn money on Big Bird out there and his damn girlfriend. Grady's trying to convince Earl because he's like, Earl, you're going to be a step ahead of them this time because they've already guaranteed that the Mexican our government and military is going to give you anything you want. You want some dynamite, you want some grenades, you want whatever you want, man. They'll just give it to you to try and help you get rid of these graboids. And the next thing we see is Earl and Grady coming out of the double white together, and he's like, Senor Ortega, we got a deal. And then Grady's like, I'm coming with you. And then Earl's like, I don't even know you. Why are you coming with me? He's like, because I knew he was after the real Earl Bassett, and I knew I was going to be home if I found you. He's like, you know what? I drive a taxi. I have a horrible apartment. I watch too much TV. What more do you want to know about me? And Earl's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe you will come in handy, because when they're eating you, it'll give me a chance to get away. We see that Earl still has that same classic truck that he's driving in the first movie. We see him driving down the roads to, I'm assuming, the first oil refinery that he needs to try and help. And they're sitting in the truck together, and Grady goes to open the cooler. He's like, oh no, who gets the last soda? And Earl's like, 1, 2, 3, as he's doing the rock, paper, scissors motion. And he's like, well, what's that? He's like, rock, paper, scissors, see who wins. And then Earl's just, I think Earl the scissors, or maybe did rock by accident, whatever, and Grady just has his hand out. He's like, I win. And Grady's just looking around like, how'd you win? And he's like, I just beat you. They get to the area where they meet up with Ortega, and he's like, so I have some news. I have all your supplies over here, and I also have a bonus for you. If you can get one of the creatures captured alive, I'll pay you double. And Earl's like, alive? What do you think we're doing here? How are we supposed to catch it alive? And of course Grady's just like, ooh, more money, and that's, I like this. Then of course, while they're looking over their supplies, a girl comes out, and I'm assuming it's Kate White Riley, played by Helen Shaver. And of course Earl's just like, ooh, wow, look at that over there. Earl's got a thing with, you know, any lady by the sounds of it. When he just catches eyes on them, he's just like, ooh, I like you. You like me? Please like me. I have an ostrich charm. And then White introduces Earl and Grady to Julio, who apparently is going around setting up all the seismographs so they can, you know, try and track the creatures, I guess, as best as possible. And that's like later that night, and Earl is going over to White's little office area to look over some quote-unquote some maps, apparently. And she's like, hey, you want coffee? He's like, yeah, black. And she's like, how'd you like those burritos for dinner? He's like, well, you know, they're okay, I guess. She's like, yeah, with the cook on, you know, it's the best that we could do. Like, did you really make a bad burrito? How do you make a bad burrito? I shouldn't even ask that question. I'm sure there's probably a way. Anyways, White's moving some stuff, and as she's bending over, Earl's checking out her ass. And when Earl's bending over to spread out the map a little bit on the table where there's space now, she's checking out his ass. I'm like, oh, you guys are both perverts. That's good. And then she's like, who named them Graboids anyways? He's like, oh, a friend of ours, Walter Chang. He named them. Then they ate them. Then Grady bursts into the room. He's like, hey guys, look what I made. He's got a big giant noisemaker, essentially. He's like, we'll just hook it up behind the truck. You know, it's a bunch of chains with locks and stuff on them. That way it makes more noise. That way the Graboids will come after us. You know, Graboids are attracted to noise. Right, guys? And Grady goes to leave the room because he's like, I'm sensing a little bit of awkward tension here. I'm going to go load my chain trap up on the back of the truck. As he's doing that, we see Julio showing him a computer system that he's hooked up inside the truck to try and track the Graboids, I guess. It's kind of like a radar sensor. Then we see them driving the truck together, and Earl's like, so that's us on the radar, huh? That's the truck. And he's like, yeah, it seems like everything's working good so far, I guess. And Gray's like, yeah, of course it is. It's, you know, a high-functioning business. Of course it's going to work right. He's like, yeah, we got a pretty good setup, right? 50,000 each. You know, when I get mine, I'm going to get it all in one, so it's a bigger stack. Then we see them stopping the truck out by an old broken-down barn. He's like, yeah, well, this is where they're supposed to be. And Gray's looking around. He's like, huh, look at how lovely this country is. nice green grass and hills all over the place. You know, there's mountains all over the place. That's fun. And Grady's like, you know, you said they can't go through mountains, right? So we're fine over here, right? And Earl's like, no, I told you they can't go through rocks. They can go through dirt. So then they switch seats and he's like, so you drive, Grady, because I want to watch this sideshow majigger thingy. And Grady's like, you know, you're really nervous. He's like, I'm not nervous. I'm very alert, that's all. And we see Grady just driving around like a maniac with his chain behind the truck and he's yelling and screaming. And then out of nowhere, we see this, you know, blimp on the radar coming. And Earl starts freaking out. He's like, there's one coming there. There's one coming. You gotta stop the truck. Stop the truck so we get things set up. They stop the truck and they hop into the back of it and they're setting up their secret weapon. And he's like, be careful with it, Grady. Don't touch the detonator yet. We see that their secret weapon is a little RC truck with dynamite attached on the back of it. And Earl's driving around hoping that the graboid will come up and eat the little RC truck and they can detonate the TNT on it. And of course, they're driving the RC truck around a little bit. And then, of course, we do finally see the graboid coming up and eating the truck. And Grady's like, come on, hit the detonator bomb, Earl. Come on, Earl, hurry up. Hit it, hit it, hit it. And he finally does hit it. And we just see, you know, it blowing up essentially. And Earl pulling up a little umbrella to cover himself. And then Grady's like, oh, shit, shit. There's stuff coming all over the place. And we see them doing another one. And they both pull up their umbrellas in time. And then they do another one as well. I've seen like 4 or 5 different explosions now at this point in time. So I'm not sure how many graboids are in this actual area. Then we see them sitting down on a rock to have lunch. And then they have this radio playing, but they left it on the ground. And then the radio gets sucked into the ground. And Earl's like, you left the radio on the ground, Grady. He's like, yeah, sorry, I forgot about it. And then it's like nighttime and we see the moon and we see the truck and they're sleeping on top of the rock or getting ready to sleep on top of the rock. And we hear a coyote howling. And Grady's like, is that coyote? And Earl's like, yep. And he's like, you should keep it quiet. And then we just hear the coyote dying. He's like, yep, he was a coyote. Isn't anymore though. And now it's the next day. We see them sitting in the back of the truck again and they just blew up another one. And Grady's like, that's 300,000. Like, wow, okay, that's a lot of graboids, I guess. I'm assuming Grady's also saying 300,000 a piece, but I'm not 100% sure on that one. And then Grady's umbrella gets blown off of the back of the truck, so he goes down the ground to grab it. And Earl's like, get off the ground! And then out of nowhere, we hear the radio starting to play. And of course, it's the graboid that ate the radio is slowly coming towards them. And it pops up right behind Grady. And then Grady runs over to the truck and hops into the back. And then jumps on the roof of the truck. He's like, God damn, the thing's huge! Can we get out of here, please? But now they have a slight issue because when the graboid was going back down into the ground, he actually snagged the back of the chain that's hanging off the trailer hitch of the truck. And now the truck is slowly starting to slide. And Grady's like, it can't be that strong, right? It can't pull the truck, right? Right, Earl? Earl? Right? Earl's trying to drive away, but the truck's still getting pulled. So then Grady's like, hit the brakes. He's like, I am. It's not doing anything. And then Grady is yelling from the back of the truck. He's like, Earl, clear. And Earl just looks out the window. He's like, oh no. But then the graboid's nice enough and stops near the edge of the cliff. But then the graboid decides to go in a different direction and starts pulling the truck even faster by the looks of it. And then the graboid literally goes towards a rock and Earl's like, he's gonna go under it. He's like, turn around it then. And then as he's pulling, the graboid's pulling him, he pulls him up against the rock, but the chain actually breaks and the truck lands up on the rock. And Earl's like, Jesus, we're lucky because the chain broke. And apparently Grady's planning on opening this theme park. He's like, ah, that's gonna be the first ride at my theme park. He's like, yeah, sure, Grady. And then they look at the radar inside the truck. He's like, well, what about your disposition on this? Because then we see like 8 different graboids showing up on the radar. And then we see them speeding away through the grassland. And then we see them making a phone call. And of course, we see a bunker. And of course, who they're calling? They're calling Bert for help. At first, Bert's like, Earl, hey, yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. He's like, yeah, I haven't seen you in a while either there, bud. We see that Bert's been a little bit depressed because his wife, Heather, apparently has been visiting her sister for quite some time now. And apparently there's been a lot of marital issues and that's, you know, slowly starts to upset Bert. But Bert, you know, they start discussing other things and then we start panning out through his bunker and we see the giant graboid head is mounted on his wall inside his basement bunker. And that's when Earl starts discussing with him that he has a little bit of a situation. And Bert's like, well, what kind of situation? Is that a graboid one, actually, to be honest with you. And that actually makes Bert jump up out of his chair like, okay, I'm good. We see everyone back at like home base essentially without Bert yet. But of course, you know,
White's looking at this fossil that she's been looking at apparently for months now, and she's just finally realizing now that's one of these spiky cool things that the Graboids use to help propel themselves through the ground. She's like, wow, I've been looking at this for months. Like, what? You've been hunting Graboids also for a little while too, and you're just figuring this out now? Good job, Helen. I don't know why I just name dropped her actual name and not her character name, because her character name is Kate, also quotations White. And then of course they all start freaking out because on the radar scanner there's a big red blimp coming towards them, and the building's starting to shake, and everyone starts grabbing their guns, and Bert's got his gun, he's looking out the window, he's like, I ain't no Graboid, it's something more dangerous actually. And it's Bert showing up in a full-on military truck, like full-on guns ablazing military truck. So Earl takes everyone outside to meet, you know, Bert and whatnot, and Grady's all excited, and Grady starts looking at the back truck. He's like, hey, don't be touching that stuff, don't be touching back there, we got some highly explosive TNT and other explosives back there, so please don't touch it, Grady, you're the new guy, and I don't want things being blown up right now. And of course White's looking at the truck and laughing. She's like, isn't that a bit much, like all those explosives, isn't that a bit much? And everyone's just staring at her like, no, it's probably not enough, to be honest with you, it's never too much. And then Bert's like, hey guys, I got some new weapons for you. He's open up a gun case. He's like, you guys can fire a weapon, right? Well, at least you new guy, you can fire a weapon. I already know Earl can. And Earl's like, I'll take a look at it. He's looking at it. He's like, a shotgun? We're not hunting rabbits here, Bert. He's like, it's a double rifle, Earl. It's an elephant gun. Hold it against your shoulder if you want to die, okay? And Earl and Bert go off to the side of the truck to have a little discussion. And, you know, Earl's saying, you know, we're in some deep water here, Earl. Herbert, I'm glad you showed up to help us. And he's like, hi, I'm just glad to get out of the house. I was going to go crazy if I kept staying in there, you know. Heather's not coming back at all, so I just got to realize I got to live with my life and not just eat Cheetos all night. Then we see them taking Bert to the location where the broken down barn is, where pretty much all the activity was happening all around it. And of course, you know, Earl and Grady are in their truck. Bert's in his army truck, and they stop, and like Earl and Grady are eating some potato chips, and Bert's like, you know, that's really bad for you. You should be eating some MREs. You know, they'd be good for you. So, you know, take it. You trust me. Bert's giving them like five or six of them, and Grady's like, no, Bert, I don't want to take up all your food. He's like, nah, no, you're fine. I bought 125 pounds of it. Yeah, we're good. As Bert's driving away, Earl's like, ah, man, this stuff tastes like toilet paper. And Grady looks over, he's like, Earl, that is a toilet paper. And we see Earl plying around with his little RC tank, because unlike the other guys, he's got an RC tank instead of a truck, and he catches a Graboid with it and blows it to pieces. Of course, he's also recording himself the whole time while he's doing it. He's like, memo, 4 pounds of C4 might be a little bit too excessive, let's calm that down for the next time. And Bert raises and he's like, ah, guys, I got one. And Earl's like, yeah, we heard it all the way over here. And Bert's like, it's the weirdest thing too, it had a chain hanging out of his mouth. Grady's like, hey, that was ours, huh? Well, I didn't see your name on there, Grady. And then on the computer in the truck, Grady's looking at what might be a Graboid, but it's moving away. He's like, huh, that's weird. It's moving away from us. Why is it moving away from us? Maybe it's a giant prairie dog or something. Hey, Earl, you think we should follow it? So then, of course, they do start to follow. And then Earl's like, you know what? I don't like this, Grady. They get smarter as they go on. They think of plans. They're probably digging a trap for us, and I'm not really comfortable with this, following it. Then they start driving up this little bit of a hill. And then, of course, a Graboid pops up and like lands on top of their hood. And they start panicking. And Earl puts the truck in reverse and reverses it down a hill, but gets it stuck up against like another part of the rocks and whatnot. So then he's like, ah, shoot, how did I do that? Why did I do that? And then we hear the Graboids making some weird sounds, and Grady's like, do they do that? And Earl's like, I don't know, that's a new sound for me. I don't know what's going on. This is the evolution stage happening. They make it up the rock cliff, and the Graboid's still up there. And they're like, well, what the heck's it doing? Earl's like, I have no idea, to be honest with you, because it's still laying above the ground, but it's not really in like attack mode, kind of, you know, give birth mode. So Grady takes one of the RC cars with the dynamite on it and starts bumping the Graboid with it, but the Graboid won't eat it. And Earl's like, something wrong with it. Must be sick, I guess. And Grady's like, must hate something didn't agree with his tummy then, I guess. And Grady's like, hey, so it's okay, Earl. This one's not going anywhere. And he starts sinking in. And he's like, hey, Earl, we just caught a live one. That's $100,000. And Earl's like, what are you going to do with it, though? Are you going to carry it back? Because our truck is broken. What are you expecting us to do now? And we see them sitting in the back of the truck. And they're like, and they start hearing an explosion going off. And he's like, damn it, he's got another one. And Earl's like, yeah, man never sleeps. And we see the radio going off. Bert's like, yeah, so guys, I just got three of them on the cluster charge. So, you know, I'm doing better than you guys, pretty much. So then Grady grabs the CB radio. He's like, yeah, guess what, Bert? We caught ourselves a live one. It's a little trade secret. Goodbye. Then the Graboid starts making a bunch of sounds. Gray's like, so something's wrong with our worm, Earl. Maybe something's trying to eat it out there? Maybe some coyotes or something? Earl's like, well, it's going to have plenty to eat them because it can just feast on it. So then Gray's like, you know what? I'm going to go check on our big worm because I don't want it to die because I want that $100,000. And then Earl's like, fine, we'll go check on it. And they go to check on it and the whole stomach inside is like gone on the giant Graboid. And Gray's like, so something ate it, I guess. And Earl's like, in the 2 minutes that it took us to actually get up here? He's like, well, the whole inside of it's gone, so I don't know what you want me to tell you. And Earl's like, something came out of it. And it wasn't no sweet little butterfly either. And then Earl tries to radio back to Kate to tell them to, you know, stay where they are, or maybe to go to a different spot and get a little bit farther away. And then they hear another sound, and it freaks them out. And they're like, well, you know what that means. There's another one that's giving birth. And then off in the distance, we see the headlights, and it's Pedro showing up to, you know, rescue their truck. But then there's a little bit of issue because the truck stops. And of course, Pedro's truck is still stopped, and Gray's idea is, well, why don't we just take a walk down to where Pedro's truck is? Earl's like, I don't want to take no walk. He's like, look at the scanner. There's no Graboids around. We'll be fine. So then they're like, okay, fine. I guess we'll slowly walk in the middle of the night in the desert. And once they do get to Pedro's truck, they see it's smoking. They slowly get closer and closer to the truck. And the whole front end is destroyed. The engine's all destroyed. And Earl's like, man, it looks like someone took a damn can opener to the damn thing. As the whole time, Earl's also carrying the seismograph radar thingy. Gray's moving his flashlight around. He sees hands grabbing onto the back of the truck. So he's like, hey, look, Pedro. It's just back there. So they go take a look, and it's just severed hands hanging off the truck. And Earl starts freaking out. He's like, it's a whole new ball game now. I don't know shit about these ones. Then we cut back to Bert's perspective as he's driving his truck, and he's like, oh, I've been out of radio contact with my team for several hours now. Situation dictates that I should get back to base to make sure everything's going fine at base and that, you know, we're not all screwed. Then we see Earl and Grady walking back, and they're at like this radio booth tower spot, and the whole building is destroyed and all the technology is just all over the place. And Grady starts kicking it because he's all pissed off at this point in time. He's like, can't we get a break at all? He's like, you need to calm down, Grady. Don't you know they get smarter? So let's just relax and listen. And they see a station wagon off on the side, and they're like, oh, well, it's not gonna have a key, so we're gonna have to break the glass and hot wire. And as they're getting ready to hot wire, they hear some sounds, and Grady's like, what the heck is that? He's like, I don't know, but it's coming this way, we gotta hide. So they're hiding behind, I think, the car, and then we just see something beating up the door of this building because he's inside the building somehow trying to get out. And then the door finally breaks down. It's this little Graboid creature with two legs, kind of looks like an oversized chicken. And Grady's like, what the heck is that? He's like, Earl's like, it ain't no oversized chicken or ostrich, so I don't know what it is. We then see that this new creature hears differently because the top of his head kind of opens up as like a scanner of some sort for sound, and it starts screeching at them and running towards them, because I believe, yeah, this one's also called a screecher now, and I believe they're called screechers. And they start shooting at it, and they drop it, so at least it's a little bit easier to kill, but I think it also hunts by heat. I could be wrong on that one. I don't know. Who knows? Heat would make sense. And they're looking it over and poking at it. He's like, hey, look, no eyes. Just like the big ones. He's like, you know, we should take this one back with us. And Earl's like, are you crazy? And that's when they then hear more of them inside the building. So they get back into the station wagon and hotwire it and get ready to drive away. Then we see Bert driving, and he stops in the middle of the road to look at a map, and then he hears a sound. It's one of them dropping on the hood of the truck. And then next thing you know, they see the whole truck is covered on either door of them. And then it just cuts back to the home base section where Kate is trying to, you know, get a hold of Earl or Bert or anybody, but of course nobody's coming through on the radios. And Julio is on the outside of the building and pops up at the window and scares Kate. She's like, you know, the radios are down. I'm going to go and try and find everyone to see what's going on. And then he starts screaming because one of these little screecher guys starts eating his leg. And that freaks, you know, he dies. He gets pretty much dragged down. And Kate shuts the window and, like, barricades herself in her little office room area. And then we hear, you know, car tires screeching. And then we hear Earl saying, get it, get it. And then we hear a couple, you know, gun blasts, and we can just assume that creature's dead, because then Earl and Grady, you know, come in. It's like, so I don't know what it is out there, but they're changing and they're growing, and now they're little guys instead of being worms that, you know, travel through the ground. Then by the time they're leaving the building together to go back in the station wagon, we actually see one of the little guys on the hood of the car eating the engine out. And they're like, ah, damn it, we just got that car. So then Earl shoots it and it dies in one shot. And then Grady starts going on about everything they wrecked, how they wrecked Pedro's truck, how they wrecked our car, how they wrecked the radio tower. Shocking, guys. They are, you know, hunting by heat, electronic heat. Then they're kind of trying to figure out how may come out each graboid. And apparently they're thinking that there's three little guys per one graboid. And they're going over how many graboids they've already killed. So now they're like, there should probably be about 24, I guess, in total. And then the building starts shaking. They're like, oh no, what's going on now? And Earl's like, thank God, it's Bert showing up now. And they see Bert showing up, and he's driving like a maniac. His truck has seen very, very better days, and it's showing up, and Earl's like, so I think maybe they did get him, because his truck, you know, there's blood and guts all over the place, the doors are falling off, it's pretty much destroyed. And Earl's like, so, Bert, you okay? And Bert's like, so I feel like I was denied some very critical information as to what's going on with the situation that I probably should have knew about before being out in the wilderness, in the darkness, by myself, while you guys aren't messaging me back, and I got ambushed. And Bert's like, you know, I got through the first wave of semi-auto, but thankfully, you know, most of them are in the front of the truck, so I just start running them all over. And he pulls up his two pistols, he's like, I am completely out of all ammo, and that's never happened to me before, and I'm a little bit depressed now. So then Gray's like, hey, Bert, you know, it sounds like you pretty much killed them all. Kate's like, well, I hope you didn't. And she's like, well, you know, for scientific purposes, at least, you know, just want to study it a little bit. And Bert's like, yeah, you know what? I took that into consideration as I was getting ready to drive away. I saw one was only stunned. And then he pulls up the back part, like, curtain part of his truck. And he's got one hogtied. He's like, see, I caught one. I don't know how, but I did it. They park the truck inside the giant garage area, and they haul out this creature. He's like, don't let him spook you. That rope's 1,000-pound proof. It's fine. Just pull him out, and they take him inside. And when they close the little man door, we see the truck again. But, of course, one of the little guys was, like, stuck underneath the truck. And he falls down the ground, and then he's got his, like, tongue wagging all over the place. And he finds an MRE, whatever it is, and he starts to eat it, and it looks like crap, but apparently it's gonna make him stronger. Now inside the science like area, they have the little walker guy in a cage, and they're doing a little test on, and they're whacking, they're hiding behind like a desk and whacking a broom, and it doesn't do anything. So then Bert puts his hand up, and that's when they find out that the little guys are heat seekers. That's when they find out that they're, you know, heat seekers. They hunt anything that's heat. And Kree's like, so you're telling me they've been acting so smart, but really, at the end of it, they've been so stupid because they've just been, you know, biting anything that's heat. And he's great. He gets the idea to feed it some food. And of course, it starts acting up. And it's like, it looks like it made it sick. He's like, no, Bert, it's probably your food that made it sick. And then it starts, you know, making some more sounds. And then next thing you know, it pops out a little one. And Gray's like, I claim the little one. And Bert's like, hey, wait, you just fed it my food. I want it. And Bert's like, well, so these things have quite the edge on us now. Because if they eat more food, they reproduce faster. And they keep the process going and going and going. So what are we gonna do? And then Kate's standing by the window, and that's when the one that's inside the garage breaks open the window. She's like, okay, we gotta run, we gotta close that door and get out of here. And they start running to another building to hide inside of it, but it's literally only the front of the building and nothing else is finished. And then we see there's a bunch of other ones all over the place, and Earl's like, great, they got into your superfood, Bert. And everyone's freaking behind this building, and Gray's like, you know what, I was running here, I thought it was a building, don't blame me. Kate's just like, well, why didn't you listen to me when I told you it wasn't a building? And then Earl's like, you know what, guys, we gotta calm down. These things are blind and deaf. We gotta be able to outsmart them. And then I was like, see, I told you, Grady, they can't see us at all. As they are hiding behind a single door, shuffling, and then Kate and Bert are hiding behind another door as they're shuffling, you know, across the parking lot area. They get to another building because they're trying to make their way over to Julio's car, which is over by another tanker area. And then Kate starts running to that car, and then she's like, oh no, we gotta go back and hide again because there's another one hiding over there as well. Then we find out Bert has one last bullet left, and he loads it into his gun, and he gets ready to shoot the little heat seeker guy that's over by Julio's car. And he shoots it, and the whole damn thing blows right up. But there's one slight problem once they get closer to the vehicle, because this was such a high powered round, it shot through the brick wall behind the monster, shot through a bunch of barrels, and literally shot through Julio's vehicle engine as well. And everyone looks at him, at Bert, disappointed. He's like, well, how am I supposed to know? I was just shooting the damn thing. I didn't know Julio's car was here. And, you know, I thought I was fighting Graboids. I wanted the thing with the most penetration. That's why I got this gun. So then they start acting stupid and start looking for different vehicles to take. And then, of course, they run into a bunch of other heat seekers. So then they split up. So Kate and Earl are in one building with the door locked. We have Grady up on top of, like, a water tank. And then we have Bert, who jumped into a raised bucket on a tractor. One of the little heat seeker guys is, like, breaking the door down where Earl and Kate are. And is, you know, pushing his tongue through to try and feel for him. So then Kate breaks a beer bottle and, like, literally stabs its tongue. You know, trying to tell it, be like, yo, no, don't come in here. You know, you're going to get hurt. And then Earl the whole time has been heating up a jumpsuit, essentially, like a mechanic jumpsuit. And he's putting it on a clothesline and shooting it across the line. He's like, all right, you're going to get ready to run because this is, like, our little trick. Because, you know, the heat's coming off of that and it's going to, you know, attract all the little heat seekers. We're going to get out of this building and run to those oil tanks and get up high. So then Earl and Kate get up where Grady is. And Earl's looking around. He's like, where's Bert? So then Grady takes him to the other part of the oil tank and looks, points down at him. He's like, hey, look, he's down there. You know, they can't find him, but he's safe. And Bert's like, yeah, I'm just fine and dandy down here, guys. What's the plan? Because I'd like to get out of this bucket at some point in time. And of course, everyone starts arguing with each other because, you know, Grady's mad about one thing because they didn't have enough research. And then, you know, it all started because Bert's a little upset because I wouldn't have ran out of ammo if I was, you know, given a little bit more detail as to what's going on in this situation. And Earl's like, well, you know what, Bert? You didn't have to come if you really didn't want to come. So it's your own fault for showing up. And really, there's like this little romantic scene between Earl and Kate. And she's talking about how she went to Mexico to learn some more stuff. And then out of nowhere, Earl's like, so you seeing anyone? And Kate's like, well, you know, not since the monsters happened, no. And then Kate's going on about how, you know, she was a model at one point, took herself for school, how she was a playmate at one point in time, and gave her dad a heart attack pretty much for it. And then Earl's like, October 24th? And she does the post. He's like, yep, that was definitely you. Sure was. And Grady's like, so guys, we have an issue over here. And he looks down, and we see the heat seekers are starting to jump on each other to get higher and higher up. And Bert keeps, you know, yelling at them, asking what's going on. So then he uses his hunting knife to try and get the right angle. And he sees that all the little heat seekers are starting to make a tower. So then he jumps out of the bucket and tries to get the heat seekers' attention. And he does get the heat seekers' attention. And he runs towards the factory building with the big giant garage doors, shipping doors. And Kate and Grady are like, so does he have a plan? And Earl's like, yeah, he's always got a plan. You know, most of the time, usually. Then we see Bert run through one end of the building, out the other door, shuts that door, runs back to the shipping door, shuts the shipping door. And everyone's excited because they're like, yeah, we got them stuck inside there. And then we hear the monster making sounds, and then we find out that there's a bunch of food supplies inside this building. And the bird's like, how could I have known? How would I have known? I didn't know there was a bunch of food in there that they were going to multiply. And then Earl comes up with a random plan, grabs a fire extinguisher. He's like, I got a plan, sort of, kind of. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's actually going to work. So the plan is for him to be hosed down with the fire extinguisher. That way his body won't get off any heat signature signs at all. And that way he can get to Bert's truck to try and get some bombs. So then Grady's like, so you know what? I'm gonna do it because I want to do it. And then they have the rock, paper, scissors contest. And of course Grady actually wins. But then Earl's like, no, I won actually, to be honest with you, so I'm going to do it. Or maybe he did the whole, you know, well, you know, you won, I lost, so I have to actually do it because I'm the loser. So we see them hosing down Earl, and he's covered in the CO2 from the fire extinguishers, and he's inside the building with all the heat seekers, and one of them is like right beside him, and the top of his head comes up to do the heat seeking thing. But of course he doesn't actually see Earl at all, so he's kind of like making his way through the maze to try and get to the truck. Because you also gotta remember, because now that they're eating a bunch of food, they're multiplying even faster at this point in time, because now there's more than a dozen of them now just inside this building. And Gray's like, wait a minute, doesn't paper wrap rock? And Bert's like, paper always wraps rock, Grady. You got cheated out of it, okay? Just don't worry about it. And everyone's on the other side. They got the windows open a little bit, and they're telling Earl to hurry up because the CO2 spray is slowly starting to melt off him, and sooner or later, the heat seekers are going to see him. Earl's now in the back of the truck, but of course, they all start to scream because they slowly are starting to see his heat, you know, signature. Then we see everyone on the outside trying to figure out how to get Earl out because, like, we need a rope. We're going to, you know, give him a rope from the ceiling to try and get him out that way. And they use the fire extinguisher hose, but of course it gets stuck, and then Bert has to cut it because it's not long enough. And then inside we see Earl is grabbing one of the big shop lights and swinging off of it, and as he's going to swing, a couple of the support pieces break and he falls down some boxes. But luckily enough, Grady drops down the fire extinguisher hose and they slowly start to, you know, get Earl out of the building. They're slowly getting Earl out of that top window. He's just like, "You guys gotta run, come on, go. He's like, what do you mean? It's like, I set a bomb, it's the only thing I could think of at the moment. Then as Earl's down on the ground, Bert's like, so where's the bomb? He's like, I didn't have time, I just had to throw the bomb inside the truck. He's like, what, you did what? There's a bunch of explosives in there. What do you mean you threw it in the truck? So then we see Kate and Earl and Grady hiding behind a building, and Bert's like, no, keep running, big bump, gonna be a big bump, not far enough, let's go, keep going. And then we see them run to this like little drainage ditch area, and Bert's like, oh, this is gonna have to do, everyone get down, cover your ears, don't move at all. And Grady's still standing up top, he's like, is it gonna blow up soon? And Bert's just like, get down here now, Grady. And then the bomb goes off, and we just see Grady flying into the drainage ditch as the whole building and everything around it starts to blow up. And we see them getting up out of the little drainage area. And Bert's like, you know what, Grady? Some people think I'm a little bit too overprepared, but, you know, I think I just saved us, pretty much as the essential voice says. And then Grady's like, hey, Earl, they owe us for 28 worms, but we did kind of blow up their facility, so what's that mean, Earl? And Grady's like, hey, Earl, we'll have enough to open the theme park. Grady and Earl's Monster Theme Park, this would be like your greatest, you know, third chance at it. Come on, let's do it. And Earl's like, no chance. And then the credits start to roll. And that's the end of the Tremors 2. It wasn't too bad of a movie. I still think the first one is definitely far beyond better than this one. But I do like the introduction of the new creatures. And the fact that if they eat any food, they pretty much just reproduce like nothing at all. So that's an interesting concept as to how the lifespan of it goes. I'm not sure why now, over multiple years, they're finally just evolving. But whatever, it is what it is. Still, the creatures look cool, and I love the effects on it. I like that Fred Ward and Michael Gross are still in. I wish it would have had Kevin Bacon. That would have been nice, too, to see him in there as well. I guess Grady's a good cover for Bacon's character. But on the rotten scale for this one, I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10. I think it's decent. Definitely check it out. Check out this one and obviously Tremors 1. And then we'll check out Tremors 3, 4, and 5, and whatever else there might be after that. And maybe at one point in time we'll find the TV show. I'd be curious to watch that. I definitely would enjoy watching that and checking that out. So, which brings us to this point in time where we get to pick what we're going to be watching next week. So we're going to watch something that I've been, you know, wanting to watch for a while. I got the box set for it, and with St. Patrick's Day, I think, coming up, or maybe it's already passed by the time this episode's actually out, now that I'm thinking about it. We're going to watch Leprechaun 3, because why not? You know, Leprechaun's a fun, silly movie, and I just want to watch it, and it's from 1995. It's a horror comedy for an hour and 34 minutes, and of course, you know, starring Warwick Davis, who still plays the Leprechaun, so, you know, he's a recurring Leprechaun in the series, so that's good that it's not switched out. I think it's, like, the last new one, or the one before that he got switched out. I can't remember. It's all blurred to me at this point in time, but yeah, we're gonna have some fun. We're gonna watch Leprechaun 3 from 1995, so hopefully you guys will check that one out as well, and also, as always, the outro band, check them out. Their links will be down below in the description. You can find them on SoundCloud, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, pretty much anywhere and everywhere. They have a new album out. Definitely go check it out. Check out Toronto-based horror band Blood Opera with their new song, or one of the new songs playing at the end of this episode from their new album. Also, the new album is titled Songs in the Key of Death. So definitely go check it out. I've listened to it a couple times. You can find the whole album on Spotify. So just go give it a listen. And go give it a thumbs up and a review, whatever. A star rating, I guess. I don't know what you do on... I guess on songs, you just give it a thumbs up or the
plus sign. So, you know, go do it. Go give them a follow on Spotify. They deserve it. And after you're done, you know, giving them a follow, go follow me on all social media links. You know, you got X, you got Instagram, you got Facebook, you got TikTok. And then the main thing that we're pushing is the YouTube channel. It's all at Typhon Sign, but definitely go check out the YouTube channel. Everything will be linked down below. On the YouTube channel, you can find the weekly gaming video that drops every single Wednesday. We have old episodes of the podcast. We have various art streams going out as well, art videos, art shorts, and as well live streams, so definitely go check them out. I've been doing live streams like 4 or 5 times a week now for a couple hours a night, so definitely go check out. It's a fun time playing GTA Online, playing some Fortnite, new season of Fall Guys. We got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We're going to be getting back into Texas Chainsaw Massacre game as well, and I also want to do some retro gaming as well. I want to pull up the old SNES games and PS2 games, PS1 games. Still weird seeing PS2 as retro, but play some of those games and make those as a weekly game videos as well. If you want to live stream those as well, let me know down in the comments below. And if you can, give the podcast a review, you know, 5-star rating, 4-star rating, whatever you feel like on Spotify, an Apple review. I appreciate it all, and I'll talk to you guys all later. Peace.